Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali, and you are listening to episode 396 of the Sexology podcast. I cannot believe that we are at our episode 396. We've been together for several years now, and we are almost at the 400 episode mark. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am to be on this journey with you guys. And in order for us to celebrate our journey together, our relationship together, we put together hundreds of dollars of gifts that we would like to share with you as a way to say thank you. In order to enter for the giveaway, you can go to the show notes and follow the instructions, because the giveaways are keep rolling. So I don't have the list of everything that we got so far, but if you go to the show notes, you'll see them all. And we'll do the giveaway, the raffle, after episode 400, and we'll announce it in our newspaper that goes out on a Tuesday during episode 401. And we're going to announce the winners there. Today, we're going to talk about our sexual fantasies. As you guys might remember, a few months ago, few of my sex therapist, sex educator colleagues and I, we put together a workshop in Los Angeles, and we talked about things that we love. It's like within our areas of expertise. I talk about how to spice up the relationship step by step and kind of how you can do it in a meaningful way. We had Nicolotta Heidegger from Slut and Scholar. She talked about how to find your yes, and she talked about her experience of experiencing. She talked about how she learned to ejaculate. And Dr. Tara of Love Bite, she taught us how to do dirty talking. The workshop is already recorded. You can access it. It's, I think, less than $50, very less inexpensive. So you can get the workshop. But as part of our preparation for the workshop, we sent out a questionnaire, and one of the items in the questionnaires was asking about our audience's sexual fantasies. And we talked about what are some of the fantasies that you have and you haven't talked to anyone about it. What are some of those hottest, spicy sexual fantasies? Whenever you're thinking about them, you get really horny. And they shared those fantasies with us, and they were just so amazing. I talked about a few of them during the workshop, but I wanted to share those fantasies with you to A, normalize having different sexual fantasies, because sometimes people think there's something wrong with them because they don't have the right type of fantasies. And also we can talk a little bit about the psychology of sexual fantasies and what does it mean if we have certain type of fantasy. But before diving into the episode today, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Intimate Rose. I'd like to give a special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Intimate Rose. One of my clients was recently looking for quality Kegel products and was frustrated with the low quality options available on the market. When I consulted with my fellow sex therapist friend for finding the best Kegel products out there, most of them suggested Intimate Rose. Let me share a bit about them. Intimate Rose is all about giving hope, solutions and support for intimate healing concerns, focusing on pelvic floor problems. They've got top-notch fixes for pelvic pain like vaginal dilator and pelvic wands, plus Kegel weights to help to strengthen the pelvic floor. They also provide a full collection of women's health supplements to support hormonal balance, bladder and vaginal health. And for our listeners, they're offering a 10% discount with the code SEXOLOGY. So make sure you are going to the link in the show notes and entering the code SEXOLOGY to get 10% off of your products. Thank you so much for supporting this show and prioritizing your sexual health. Ever since I was very young, I was fascinated by learning about other people's sexual fantasies. I remember when I was an undergrad student at UCSD, I went randomly to a floor in the library. And for the first time, I discovered Nancy Friday's books. So if you are younger and you don't know about Nancy Friday, a few decades ago, she asked people about their sexual fantasies, mailed it to her, and she published it. And she talks about in her book about the different types of fantasies people have. And it's very diverse, the type of fantasies that people have. And reading a lot of different stories, it helped me to see that, okay, so it's normal and common for people to have different types of fantasies. But because we're not talking about those, people think that there is something wrong with them. Even now, I see a lot of people in my practice that they feel that they're broken. Many people come into my practice that they are worried about having kind of not knowing about their sexual orientation. For example, many women, they say that they watch same-sex porn, which is very common. And sometimes men talk about being interested in same-sex porn or having the different types of fantasies that involves men. And it's not until we go through this journey of evaluation together that we realize that the underlying psychological aspect of it, it's nothing to do with their sexual orientation. I know there's so many people that they fantasize about same sex or people of all gender and they identify with different types of sexual orientation and there's nothing wrong with it. But what I'm trying to say that our sexual fantasies and what we want in reality, sometimes they are incongruent and that can be very confusing for people. So I'm sharing the sexual fantasies that you guys sent to me for the workshop, of course, anonymously. So you can have the same experience that I had when I read Nancy Friday's book. And if you are interested to share your sexual fantasy with us, you can record your audio at sexologypodcast.com. There is this small icon on our homepage, and I would love to hear your fantasies. So let's first start with talking about one of the older theory. It's coming from Freud, and Freudian theory talk about how sexual fantasies show our hidden desires and conflicts. Kind of give us a glimpse into our deeper psychological yearnings. He believed that these fantasies often trace back to our childhood experiences and suppressed wishes that we're too scared to deal with directly. which can you see it's kind of the same mindset that many people have and the fear that they have. But how, after working with so many people and learning different people's perspective and psychologists' perspective about sexual fantasies, I learned to approach it in a more empirical perspective. It's about sexual fantasies are a normal and healthy part of human sexuality, and it can be influenced by a wide range of factors, including cultural background, personal experiences, and individual personality traits. I'll delve deeper in this topic at the end of the episode because I want to share some interesting research studies on this topic. The next ideas are coming from evolutionary psychology. And these psychologists talked about fantasies evolving to enhance reproductive success, reflecting adaptive behaviors shaped by evolutionary pressures. So as we know, with evolutionary kind of like lens, everything is about passing our genes, and fantasies are helping us to get aroused and have better success for conceiving and all of those things. That there are some truth to that, but I don't think it's 100% accurate. And then we have people who believe in social learning theories. And these people are talking about fantasies are often learned by behavioral influence of the environment, like social, environmental, and cultural factors. And this lens puts emphasis on the role of modeling and reinforcement. So they talk about whatever you see, it's really impacting what you want. Which, again, there are some truth to that. But what I discovered is that our sexual fantasies are oftentimes more complex than what social learning theories are referring to. The lens I adopted when it comes to sexual fantasies, it is almost integration of elements of traditional psychodynamic theory with contemporary psychological insights. I know these are lots of psychological jargons, but let me tell you about the key parts of it. So I strongly believe the role of our fantasies in creating emotional safety and reassurance. One of the best books I read on this topic is by Michael Bader, and the book called Arousal. It's one of the classic when it comes to sexual fantasies. And in the book, Bader talks about how sexual fantasies can actually make us feel secure emotionally, and they can help us deal with worries and fears about getting close to others and being vulnerable. Another point when it comes to the purpose of sexual fantasies, one part of its conflict resolution, it's about the fact that fantasies can help us resolve our internal conflict and integrate different parts of our psyche. And last point I want to mention that our sexual fantasies, can be healing. Potentially, it can allow us to integrate and make sense of our desires and emotions. Let's together examine some of different types of common sexual fantasies based on what you have submitted for the workshop. For those of us that we are a tad judgmental when it comes to sexual fantasies, I want to share first a study that was done by University of Vermont that they asked 349 coupled individuals to keep diaries of their erotic fantasies. And over a period of 2 months, 87% reported fantasies of other lovers, which was 98% of the men and 80% of the women. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it's very common for us to have sexual fantasies. So for people that get offended when they hear about different fantasies, I just want to say that there are majority of people that they have these types of fantasies, and there's nothing wrong with that. So the first type of sexual fantasies that people shared with us was around group sex. When I talk about group sex, I'm talking about fantasies about engaging in sex with multiple partners simultaneously. This is one of the most common fantasies for both men and women. And Dr. Justin Laymiller, who was a guest of our show a few years ago, and she has this wonderful book that talks about Tell Me What You Want and talks about the science of sexual desire. He talks about how approximately 80% of men and 60% of women have fantasized about group sex. Group sex fantasies often stem from a desire for variety, excitement, and feeling of being highly desired by multiple people. Let's dive into some of the fantasies that belongs to this category. So one of you guys wrote, I think some of our friends are the coolest and accomplished people. There are two or three of our friends that I daydream to have in a threesome. What a compliment. The second entry was, I want to be out dancing with my hobby at a loud, sexy, swanky club, wearing my vibrator necklace and not a whole lot else. While my husband goes to get a drink, I want a chiseled, sexy, great dancing man to approach me. When he notices the vesper, he'll rip it off my neck and stick it down my dripping undies, all the while pressing his muscular body into me while we dance. My husband will return and I'll see his hungry, savage, compersion-filled eyes, and he'll proceed to dance with me from behind as I start kissing the sexy stranger. The two of them will find a quietish corner of dance floor and shove me against the wall, taking turn making out and slipping their fingers into my undies and onto my clit. But I can't take the teasing any longer, and neither can they. We'll find a couch tucked away hidden behind the stairwell, and I'll relinquish all control. They'll both penetrate me until we all bathed in my pleasure. Love it. First of all, what a great storytelling and narrative you got. And I love it. Like hearing it, it makes me hot. And this is the last example I want to share with you guys. There are so many other ones that you guys submitted, but I tried to choose the different ones to give you guys a sample of what are some of the things that people submitted. So this is the third one. This is a bit weird, but it comes from a place of love. I'm planning to propose to my girlfriend next year. We have had a few speed roasts before, so we're not shy in that regard, especially her. I have had a fantasy for a while now. The night after our wedding night, I want to see her in her wedding dress while I'll bring home two hunky guys for her. I would love to see her getting pleasure by both of them in her dress, front and back, and eventually see her naked with just her wedding necklace. When we're analyzing people's fantasy, it's really important to kind of get to know the person, the background, all of those things are very important. But without knowing the person, for example, in the last fantasy, I hear that there is desire to feel excitement and fulfillment. And when they're adding the wedding context, it adds a layer of emotional intimacy and commitment. So our fantasies are like multi-layer entities. And it's important to kind of explore different parts of it if we want to explore that. And there's nothing wrong with just want to lean into it and enjoy it. Another fantasies that are very common are taboo and forbidden fantasies. These are the ones that especially I see a lot within the conservative community. So I'll talk about a couple of the submissions that we got. One of them was, sometimes when I'm having sex with my boyfriend, I imagine that I'm a princess and my boyfriend is my royal guard. And at night, when he's supposed to be standing outside my door, keeping me safe, he comes inside and has sex with me. I'm technically engaged to a prince, but it's hard to think about my royal guard sneaking in and making love to me. I imagine he took my virginity too. It really turns me on. It sounds like a scene from Game of Thrones and Dragon era fictions. But what's interesting about that, there is an element of breaking societal taboos and engaging in socially unacceptable behavior that make things very delicious. These fantasies often involve breaking societal taboos or engaging in socially unacceptable behaviors. I wanted to read several entries from different categories, but I noticed that I'm running short in time. So I'll just read a couple more to you guys because they're just so good. If you want to, first of all, learn more about people's fantasies, learn about how you can incorporate it into relationship and your sexual experiences if you want, and many more things, you can just buy the workshop. The link is in the show notes. As I said, it's very affordable. So the last category I want to talk about is romance and passion. One of the submissions was, I love to have a day just me and my wife where we go to different places all day. But at each place we go to, I have to get her to orgasm with either fingers or mouth before we leave. But seeing as we've not had sex for 3.5 years, it will just stay a fantasy. So when we're hearing about like fantasies I talked about in this category, we're talking about public safe and having sex in unconventional places. It's added thrill after being caught or breaking societal norms. So I had a difficult time whether to put this on a romance category versus taboo category. But in reality, our fantasies are not that black and white. And everything I read, it belonged to so many different categories. Before we close, I just wanted to highlight again that having diverse and taboo fantasies is normal and healthy. You get to do whatever you want in your privacy of your mind. You can definitely explore things in reality if it's consensual and it's helping your sex life. For sure, you can go for it. But even if you have a partner that they're not into what you're into, there's nothing wrong with fantasizing. As I shared with you guys earlier, majority of people, even in long-term relationship, they fantasize about other partners, whether they acknowledge it or not. So it's really important to practice a self-acceptance and work on reducing shame around your desires. My invitation for you is for the first step, practice catching yourself when these negative stories from your past shows up for you. Like shame, the stories around shame and embarrassment, the stories that you're perverted. Like when it shows up, get curious about it. Are these stories accurate? Like now you know how common it is for people to have all types of sexual fantasies. Is it accurate that saying that your privacy of your mind, you're exploring these things, makes you a freak or weirdo? And the other important and helpful way of looking at it is that, is this workable with type of a life that you want to live? So for example, if your value is to lean into pleasure, have an adventurous life, when you're judging yourself for these thoughts, are these helping you to move toward that direction or hurting you? Another thing I want to talk about is the research studies on cultural influences on sexual fantasies. Journal studies showed that people in Western cultures may report a wider variety of fantasies, including those involving group sex, BDSM, and novelty. Some of the points that the researcher mentioned in their study about why people in Western cultures have more diverse sexual fantasies is about having greater exposure to diverse sexual content in media and more open discussions about sexuality. For example, based on this data point that they had, Caucasian individuals might have higher reports of fantasies involving group sex, exhibitionism, and BDSM due to more permissive social norms. The second group that they looked at was African American culture, and they found that in the sample that they examined, African American individuals may have fantasies similar to those in broader Western context, but may face different cultural pressures regarding the expression of these fantasies. factors such as historical and social context, such as the impact of racism and the legacy of slavery, can influence sexual attitudes and behaviors. For example, African Americans might report fantasies involving power dynamics and control, but could be less likely to openly discuss or act on these fantasies due to cultural taboos and stigmas. And there was this study in Asian cultures that they looked at how Asian individuals report fewer fantasies involving taboo or socially forbidden activities. Fantasies may often emphasize romantic and relational aspects rather than explicit or adventurous theme. Factors such as collective values, a strong emphasis on modesty, and conservative attitude towards sex can shape sexual fantasies. There might be a greater emphasis on maintaining social harmony and face. And Middle Eastern cultures, these are my people. Individuals from Middle Eastern cultures might report fantasies that are more conservative and less varied, with strong emphasis on privacy and discretion. Strict religious and cultural norms regarding sexuality, gender roles, and honor can significantly shape sexual attitudes and fantasies. Well, I don't know which sample they looked at it. As you guys know, I have a podcast in Farsi, and it's tailored for the very conservative part of community, Farsi-speaking community. I see it as a free resource. I want to change the culture around sexual health. And just for preparation for this study, I surveyed my audience about some of their fantasies that they had. I've done it few years ago, and the level of taboo and the kind of BDSM themes of these thousands and thousands of these entries blew my mind. So I just wanted to share part of those fantasies with you guys. I just asked my conservative population about what are some of the fantasies you have. So one of the person reported that, "I want to show the naked body of my wife, the pictures, to men on Instagram." The other one said, "My fantasy is being a receiver of golden shower." Another one said that, "I have a lot of cuckolding fantasies." And I swear to you, there's just so many of them that are very taboo. But the last one I share with you is that they said that, I have fantasies about having sex with my mother-in-law." And for some reason, it seems like mother-in-laws are a popular theme. And this is a conversation I had with my husband about that. Like, how come I receive so many entries about people having fantasies about their mother-in-laws? One of the things that, as we were talking, my husband and I, we were exploring is that we see a lot of having sex with family members, stepdaughter, stepsister, stepmother. And I think maybe that has contributed to people developing some of these fantasies. But I think there's an element of kind of cultural factors around these fantasies. And it's interesting, based on my work with so many people coming from Middle Eastern culture, my experience is taboo fantasies are the more common part of the sexual fantasies people have. And this also lead me to the next point I wanted to make. So I talked about research studies, but sometimes there are biases depending on who's asking the questions, what population you're looking at. But I always like to talk about the research and journal articles so we can see what are some of the scientific findings. But if it doesn't fit your story, it's completely okay. They are very diverse. Anyhow, thank you so much for tuning in. Before we finish up, I just wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Intimate Rose, for supporting the show. If you are on the lookout for tools to boost your pelvic floor strength, this is the place to check out. Jump over to their website with the link below and use the code SEXOLOGY for 10% discount. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.